So then talk to me about this after. I'm looking at the after version of the profit sharing agreement. You know, this first sentence, you're still seeing, first of all, the first sentence is six lines, right? Like you've got a complicated sentence with clauses. You've got defined terms of art in there. In your estimation, does this thread the needle of checking the legal boxes, but also being plain enough? I guess my question is, could Kanye read this, do you think?
Yeah, Kanye could read this. You know, I remember the general counsel of GE Aviation said, a 12th grader or teenager should be able to read this. I think that's probably not happening even for the GE Aviation contracts, nor is it really realistic here.
So let's take another example from the Kanye contract. This is the Def Jam amendment. I'm seeing a lot of these highlights. I've got blues and I've got reds. Notwithstanding anything to the contrary contained in the recording agreement, I've got the word shall a couple times promptly. What's the language that stands out to you as particularly harmful to the understanding of the parties, which is really what a contract is supposed to do, right?
Yeah, you really hit the nail on the head. It's unfortunately the words and phrases that are operative too, right? So notwithstanding anything to the contrary, the shall problem, you know, using shall for both obligations and future events, words that seem familiar like promptly or that have, you know, a legal layer, causes there not to be. I mean, this is classic, completely unnecessary, archaic language you see in a lot of commercial agreements.